Jonah and chapter 3. Going to read just the first five verses you'll see there. Jonah chapter 3, the first five verses. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Amen. We thank God for that brief reading from his word. So in these last few weeks, we've been reflecting on the character of Jonah as we have read about him in this book. But also we've reflected on the character of God. We've discovered more about what Jonah was like and sought to apply that to our own lives. But we've also learnt more about the character of God. And perhaps it's been, rather than discovering something new about God, which we may have done, we may have discovered something that we knew before and we've had to be reminded of it. And that is certainly in my experience so often true. We need to be reminded of what God is like. And we began this series of studies reflecting on the name of Jonah. Jonah means dove. Jonah, the name Jonah means dove. And we associate the dove perhaps with peace. And perhaps Jonah is the prophet of peace, the one in all that he does as a prophet called by God to communicate the word and the character of God. Jonah is one who brings peace. But we perhaps would reflect on the dove within the biblical story and remember how Noah sent out a dove. That was the sign of a new beginning, a second opportunity. And it may be that Jonah, the dove, the prophet, whose name means dove, is a prophet of peace, but maybe everything about Jonah is about communicating from God in word and character. God gives a second opportunity, an opportunity to begin again, a fresh start. And we've reflected on so many different things in these last few weeks about Jonah, this prophet of peace, this prophet of the second opportunity. Today, the theme very much is on a second chance. A second chance. Jonah, a second chance. And I'm going to plug you into where we're going this morning so you'll know when I get to number four. We're almost done, so you're better relax. So, four different headings. Fully present, question mark. Fully forgiven, fully loved, fully trusting. So, those are the four headings today. Fully present, question mark. Fully forgiven, fully loved, and fully trusting. And we begin, of course, with fully present. Now, what we read about Jonah is in verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. It's a reminder to us that God has spoken to Jonah before about what God wants him to do. Now, God has spoken to Jonah before in Jonah's life. Jonah is a prophet who has experienced many times before what it means for God to speak to him and for Jonah to go and tell somebody else. We know people in power were spoken to by this prophet of peace, this prophet of the second opportunity. But God has already spoken to Jonah. And on that occasion, that first occasion, of course, Jonah turns and runs. And we are told specifically that in chapter 1, verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. Literally, the Hebrew says, he ran away from the Lord's face. Jonah didn't want to look into the face of God because he knew that if he looked into the face of God, he would see one who is loving and compassionate and kind and merciful. And Jonah doesn't want that message to be communicated to the Ninevites. He doesn't want the Ninevites to know that the living God is kind and merciful and compassionate and forgiving. And so the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now, a reflection on this, the word of the Lord coming to Jonah. There are many occasions within the Bible where God speaks to someone. Now, we don't have it here in Jonah. But on many occasions, when God speaks to someone, the first thing God does is get hold of their attention. And there are, as I say, there are many examples. God speaks to Abraham. I think it's Genesis chapter 22. God speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham's response is, here I am. God wants Abraham's attention, calls his name, and the response of Abraham is, here I am. Another example would be Moses. Moses, who's run away from Egypt, back to be with his father-in-law. And in Exodus 3, we read that Moses is tending the sheep of his father-in-law's flock. And he is confronted by the burning bush, a story we know well. And God speaks from the heart of the burning bush that doesn't burn up. Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. Here I am. The story I love best, probably, is that of young Samuel. You know the story about young Samuel? Gift from God. And he works and lives alongside the priest, Eli. And Samuel sleeps at night next to the altar of God in the temple. And God speaks to Samuel in the middle of the night. Samuel, Samuel. But Samuel, a young man, even though he lives and works in the temple, even though he sleeps next to the altar of God, Samuel doesn't know the voice of God. And so when he hears Samuel, Samuel, Samuel gets up and runs to Eli, his master, and says, Eli, here I am. It happens once, twice, three times. And Eli says, something's going on here. He's not just hearing voices. Samuel, next time, say, here I am, Lord. Because Eli knows it's God that is speaking. And each time where God speaks, and God speaks to Abraham, Moses, and Samuel, and there are others that we could pick up in the scriptural story. Each time, this response, those words, here I am. It's an expression in Hebrew which means, it's a single word, but it means, you have my full attention. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? It's a word that means, you have my full attention. I'm right on you. Now, you might be thinking, that's great. Why do I mention it here? I mention it here because, and as I say, fully present question mark. We don't have Jonah saying, here I am. We don't have Jonah confessing, Lord, you have my absolute attention. Whatever it is you've got to say to me, I'm not distracted. I've put all the distractions aside. I'm focusing right on you now. Whatever you say, I will take and do. And it is that focus of attention. We don't have it with Jonah. Now we might say, well, Jonah does perhaps better than that, we think, because Jonah obeys the word of the Lord, we'll see in just a moment, and he goes and does it. But sometimes, you know, we can do what God wants, but God still doesn't have our attention. Have you experienced that in your own life? When you've asked your kids to do something, and they go and do it, but they only do it because they have to. They don't give their attention. We see it there. And I think we're seeing it with Jonah. He goes and does what God tells him to do. But he doesn't have the heart devotion to God. That here I am. Communicate. I am devoted to you. Just to mention as well, we have the beautiful story of Isaiah, isn't it? In Isaiah chapter 6. Where they cry out, who shall we send? There is no one. There is no one who can go and communicate the word of God. And Jonah is having this vision of the throne room of God. And he's hearing this conversation almost going on. Who are we going to send? Who are we going to send? And Isaiah, me, send me. And so what does Isaiah say? He says, here I am. Here I am. And then he says, send me. And it is that heart devotion that we perhaps come to this account looking for. But we don't see. Jonah does what is asked. But there's a question mark over that heart devotion to God. And that might be a word to us about our relationship with God. I wonder sometimes whether God would rather have here I am than the send me. He would rather have here I am than look at all the stuff I can do. He would rather have our hearts devoted to him. So that's why fully present question mark is there. Now the second heading is fully forgiven. And again, I come back to a second call. A second call is given. Why does God give this second call? We might say, well, God gives this second call because he wants Jonah to do what he's asked him to do the first time. It may be that God gives this second call because God is concerned about the Ninevites and wants this message to go to the Ninevites. All that is true, but God gives this second call because God is in the business of forgiveness. God is in the business of forgiveness. God is in the business of restoring relationship. And as I say on the screen, God's nature is to forgive. Forgiveness is a difficult business. Sometimes it's easy to forgive because what has been done or said is not significant. But sometimes things are said and done that hurt us. Sometimes things are said and done that break us, that wound us. And forgiveness is difficult. But forgiveness is about restoring relationship. That's where it's headed. Sometimes the restored relationship for ourselves, we have to restore relationship with ourselves because what has been said and done has somehow broken us and our own relationship with ourselves and our own sense of peace. And we need to just let go. sometimes a relationship with somebody else will never be restored. But God's business, God's nature is to forgive. And so he comes to Jonah and says, come on, Jonah. We're going to do this. I give you a second chance, a second opportunity to do what I want, but not just to do what I want, to do what you were created to do. Jonah is a prophet, and the role of the prophet is not just a job. You know, what do? Monday to Friday. Oh, I'm a prophet. What do you do at weekends? Oh, I'm not a prophet then. But, you know, just that's my job. That's what I do. Think about being a prophet. You realize it's who you are. It's who you are. In my experience, if you're a prophet, God's word and God's character gets a deep and profound hold of you. And it's inescapable. And this is what Jonah is running from. He's running not just from God, he runs from himself. Because it's within him. This is who Jonah is. He is the prophet of peace and the opportunity to begin again. But he can't get away from who God has made him. But God is in the business of forgiveness and restoring. God is communicating to Jonah, this is who you are. And sometimes that's a tough journey for us, to be who God created us to be, to put aside all the deathly idols that we so easily serve, and to be the people that God has called us to be. So fully present, question mark, fully forgiven. God has fully forgiven what Jonah has done in ignoring him and running from him. Third, fully loved. Fully loved. The first two headings were about Jonah. The next two, the third and the fourth, are about Nineveh. Nineveh is loved by God. How do we know that Nineveh is loved by God? Well, we might take it as a clue. The very fact that God sends Jonah to Nineveh. Because God loves Nineveh. Sends a prophet. And says the message that Jonah gives. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. There's a warning to Nineveh. You're going to be overturned in 40 days unless you respond, unless you do something. It's a sign of the love of God. Sometimes the challenging message to us is just as much a message of love as a message of encouragement to us. Now, what I'm going to put up now is something I touched on, I think perhaps the first or second week as we reflected on Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verse 3, we read, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city, or as I've put it up here, now Nineveh was a very important city. Do you remember what's missing here? I'm sure you do. And I find this so striking. In the Hebrew, it says, now, Nineveh was a very important city to God. That's what the Hebrew says. And for the life of me, I don't know why it's not in the English translations. I think you might remember that goodness knows how many English translations I referenced. And the only English translation of this that has those two words, to God, is the Messianic Jew translation. I can't remember what they call it, but it's the translation for the Messianic Jews. But we have this extraordinary word, or two words. Now, Nineveh was a very important city to God. That's what's in there. And so Nineveh's salvation matters to God. Were there people in Nineveh who already knew God? We don't know. We know so very little about Nineveh in terms of the biblical story at this point, other than they were a great Assyrian capital. Very, very powerful. The enemy of Israel and Judah. But they are fully loved by God. Jonah's enemy is fully loved by God. It may be that for Jonah, that's a big issue. If my enemy is fully loved by God, then who on earth can my enemies be? Because I think sometimes we quite like to have an enemy. We quite like to have somebody where we can say there's us and there's them over there, you know, beyond the pale. But when we discover God loves them as much as God loves us, and God is passionate about their salvation as much as he is passionate about my salvation, suddenly the barrier between us and them, me and you, is broken down. And we discover Nineveh matters. Jonah, go to Nineveh because I love them. Go to Nineveh and speak a word that will save them. Nineveh is fully loved by God. And then the fourth heading here, fully trusting. Fully trusting. In chapter 3, verse 5. The message has come from Jonah in verse 4. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. A sign of repentance. I don't think it was very comfortable to wear sackcloth. It was a sign of their repentance. But this is what we have. The Ninevites believed God. And I love the fact that we're not told the Ninevites believed the word of God. Now, the word of God is living and active. And it's powerful to save. And Jonah is called to bring the word of God to the Ninevites that they might have an opportunity to turn their lives around to be saved. But we are told the Ninevites believed God. We might say, and I think better, is the Ninevites trusted God. The Ninevites trusted God. And I love the fact that it says they believed or they trusted God. I think sometimes it is possible to accept a word. What's my word for today? Okay. Yeah, I'll have that one. I'll have that word. You know, we can pick out words from God that we believe, that we will trust. But the true call upon our lives is to trust God. Not just this word or that word. To trust God. And it speaks of relationship. The Ninevites trusted God. We may not fully understand you. We may not fully know you, but we trust you. In this moment, we trust you. There's that beautiful image in John's Gospel after the feeding of the 5,000 where the people continue to follow Jesus after this amazing miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. And rightly so, I guess, people were thinking, great, this guy provides our food. He's done dinner, let's wait for tea, breakfast, lunch the next day. It's fantastic. And Jesus realizes that they're not following him because of him, they just want the food. And so Jesus begins teaching really difficult things. And people begin, we're not going to follow him. And so we're told out of a crowd of thousands, people drift away, and they drift away. And Jesus is eventually faced just with the 12 disciples. And I kind of imagine that Jesus is standing there, disciples are behind him, and I imagine that Jesus turns around and goes, "Oh, still here? Are you going to leave like the other thousands?" And Peter, those beautiful words, "To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go?" Peter, I think, is expressing, "Jesus, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't know who you are. But you're amazing. And we love you. We haven't got a hold on you. To whom should we go? There is none like you. We have believed and have come to know that you're the Holy One of God. So we'll stick with you." And that, I think, is something of what the Ninevites are expressing. Who are you? We don't know. But we trust you. We trust you. Whatever happens next, we trust you. Now I note, their lives are overturned or overthrown. The message from Jonah is 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown or overturned. And I just wonder if this lovely thing is, as the Ninevites respond to the message of God, as they trust in God, their lives are overthrown. Everything they had clung to is overthrown. All their passions and desires are overthrown. Their lives are overthrown. We might read this as Nineveh will be overthrown. You know, they're going to be destroyed and wiped out and Nineveh will be no more. Maybe that was hinted at. But in their repentance, their lives are truly overturned that God might have his glorious and beautiful way in them. And so we have these four headings. Fully present, ? Fully forgiven, that's for Jonah. And then for Nineveh, fully loved and fully trusting. I trust that God will bless us, not just with his word, but with his very presence today, as we receive all that he has for us and we respond in trust to him. So let's pause and let's pray together. Again, Father, we thank you that you are our Father. You are merciful, kind, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Lord, if that were not so, who could we trust? Where could we go? Father, we hold ourselves before you. We hold those that we love and those that we hold in our hearts, we hold before you. May we truly be fully present before you. May we know that we are fully forgiven and we are all fully loved. And may our lives confess that we do trust you. We trust you whatever. In the name of Christ. Amen.